This is Arthur Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. We need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. We welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being, because we have with us on the line from Gun Owners of America back in Washington, D.C., or Virginia, right close to Washington, Larry Crowd. Hi, Larry. How are you doing?
I'm well, Stan. How are you?
I'm doing just fine, thank you. Well, why don't you tell us what's going on back there? Of course, there's always this effort to try to disarm the American people, because there are people who don't believe in the Second Amendment. They are people who really want only the government to have the guns, and they want the populace disarmed. But that's what we see in most totalitarian states. So are we winning or losing?
Well, we are. I guess the fairest word to say is we're at the moment in a stalemate. The Democrats, who have traditionally been the biggest supporter of gun control, are not interested in voting for gun control before this election. The Republicans, who became a majority because of the Democrats previously voting for gun control, are afraid of having a gun vote. And so nothing much is likely to happen. John McCain, the senator from Arizona, who would seem to be rapidly embracing a new membership in the Democratic Party, leading the Republican, certainly qualifying for the derisive name Rhino, Republican in name only, he's very eager to go after an area of private sales at gun shows. The argument hadn't had much traction when it was a well, we've got to shut this loophole off because it's a bazaar for criminals. Well, after September 11, the gun control crowd, the anti-self-defense crowd, McCain included, decided, well, we'll call this the bazaar for terrorists. Well, there's only one problem with that. Anybody who's ever been to a gun show realizes that you just don't find very many surface-to-air missiles there. And yet that's the very weapon that the FBI has been most concerned about using. If the terrorists don't use a tanker truck full of petrol to blow up a Jewish neighborhood or some other target they don't like.
Well, of course, the other thing is that, you know, none of the terrorists on the planes that were hijacked on September 11th had any guns, to my knowledge, did they?
Darn, that's right.
Oh, well, how are we going to call this bazaar for terrorists, you know? But, of course, you know, it's amazing how they use words to conceal what they really want, and that is they want a populace that is totally subservient to the politicians, because the politicians aren't going to disarm the guards who are guarding the Capitol.
No, it's really part of the larger worldview, as you say, that is peopled by control freaks who assume that they legitimately have a better idea of how to run your life and mine than I do, and you do. And part and parcel with that view of total control is, of course, controlling the guns. They don't want you and me running around empowering ourselves with firearms, and so they clearly have this impulse to grab as many guns as they can, of course, all in the name of reasonable, common sense gun control. While I don't know that McCain's going to succeed in getting a vote in the Senate on his gun show, quote, loophole bill, by the way, the federal government's own numbers indicate that out of the 100% of the guns that have been involved in criminal misuse, less than 1%, 0.7%, have actually come from gun shows. So you can see why they had to kind of get off the bazaar for criminals. But of course, when you think about it, as we just did, it's even more ludicrous to suggest that it's a bazaar for the terrorists. Well, anyway, on the other side of the ledger is an initiative to arm the pilots. A bill in the House has been moving along. The best bill by far is that of Senator Bob Smith, and he's looking for an opportunity to put it on some kind of must-pass legislation, and without getting into details, I think he may have found one, and we'll see in the next week or two if he can pull it off. And the interesting thing about Smith's is just that let's arm anybody that's a pilot that wants to be armed and put him in the cockpit with his, whatever, 9mm, 45, 40 caliber, you name it. Well, none other than Barbara Boxer has now co-sponsored his bill.
Really? Well, I'm sure she has done that not because she believes in guns, but because she believes it's popular with the populace. And I will tell you, I would far rather have a pilot up there in the cabin with the controls with a gun than I would have the plane taken over by terrorists and be shot down by an F-16, because that's what we're told will happen if the terrorists take this plane and threaten to fly it into a building. And you never know what the terrorists are going to do.
Well, I guess the difference is that Barbara Boxer has to fly on commercial airliners, and the F-16 would be aimed at her, potentially, whereas the president, who is not in favor of arming pilots, flies on Air Force One, and my guess is they're surrounded by F-16s just to try to take them out either inside or out.
Well, my understanding is that Attorney General John Ashcroft started flying in privately chartered jet planes before September 11th. Had you heard that?
No, I hadn't, but it makes a lot of sense because you can fly armed on those. You don't have to go through the electronic security that is put up for you and me when we get on our commercial flight.
Well, when we get back, we're going to have to take a break, but I wanted to discuss apparently the Attorney General's position on guns, which would be favorable under the Second Amendment. At least that's what we get. So we'd like your thoughts on that as soon as we get back from the break. But when we get back, of course, we'll, of course, welcome your calls at 464-8295 or 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time I want to mention, of course, we carry Monopoly sets, and Monopoly is a board game to teach children how to read and actually teach even adults how to read phonetically, how to pronounce words phonetically, and how to spell phonetically. And it consists of a game played very much like Monopoly, but it's not one board game, it's five different board games, two bonus games, and we throw in a couple of books. And within 16 to 20 hours, you can undo all the harm the government has done. So if you have children or grandchildren and you love them, you want to make sure they can learn to read phonetically, which gives them the ability to read, really, and read well. Why, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. Most of these programs are $300 to $400. This one's $139.95, and we throw in a couple of books. And then, of course, we're carrying another exciting program. It's a homeschooling program from first grade to graduation from high school, and many of the students that complete this are ready to go into the third year of college. And that's what happened with the sons of Dr. Art Robinson, who has designed this. Art Robinson is the scientist who got 17,000 other scientists to say that there was no evidence of human influence on so-called global warming. And this is 22 CDs. They contain all the textbooks you're going to use, a 1911 British Encyclopedia Britannica, a 1913 Noah Webster Dictionary, and the McGuffey Readers, and all the books, the Huckleberry Finn books, all sorts of wonderful reading material, all the tests. The only thing you have to buy separately will be a math textbook, $199.95. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-5-HIV War. Well, if there's anyone, say, that you should hear, it's my talk on geopolitics. And that whole story that is vitally important if America is to survive as a free nation. It goes into the background of the forces that have created the wars of the 20th century, the Boer War, the First World War, the Second World War, Korea, Vietnam. We go into the ideological and the spiritual battle behind the forces that have moved America from crisis to crisis and are currently undermining the very fabric of our society. That number again, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and the tape, Geopolitics. It is vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for copies of my talk on geopolitics. Well, Dr. Stan, back here at Radio Liberty, our guest this afternoon is Larry Pratt from Gun Owners of America. And Larry, let's get out that telephone number. What is it, 1-800?
It's a toll-free number, but it's AAA.
AAA-6-GUNS.
It's 888-886-GUNS.
All right, 888-886-GUNS. All right, fine, and what about your website?
It's gunowners.org, and if people can get there, they can sign up to join our email bulletin list for free, and that's the way they find out about a lot of battles that you never have time to write about in our legislative updates that mayors, members get when they join and get the mailings that we send. So,
now, will you be influenced in what you do on your email and elsewhere by this new McCain-Feingold bill? In other words, are you limited in anything other than running ads in the newspaper?
Oh, and of course, any electronic ad that we would run around on radio or TV, once we've gone over $10,000 criticizing a federal official or any federal candidate mentioning their name at all, 30 days before a primary or 60 days before a general election, we're toast.
Well, what about the commentators? What about Barbara Walters and Dan Rather and Tom Brokaw? Can they say whatever they want to?
They're specifically exempt, but if I were to appear, say, on the Today Show, they could arguably say that, well, his salary and his overhead and the time that he must have spent just generally getting ready to have the information that he used on the show easily puts them over $10,000. Therefore, bang, they could argue that I can't even appear on the Today Show. So that is a very direct shot at our ability to operate. And that's why we're in court against what Senator McCain and others have recently done to protect their incumbencies by silencing people who would give out information that would make them accountable for what they do.
Well, you know, one of the most amazing things about that legislation is the very people who are talking about soft money are raising all sorts of soft money. I don't think this bill had anything to do with soft money. I think it had to do with doing away with the First Amendment protection, which gives us the right to let the public know what our corrupt politicians are doing.
Well, I can give you another example of the existing law that's already in effect before the McCain law goes into effect the day after the coming November election. I was working on a campaign today, and we had made a contribution to this campaign, and we had, as they say, maxed out. Our political committee had given $5,000 to this campaign. Well, the candidate had been in a convention and had prevailed in the convention, but still faces a regular primary. Now, in elections in the South particularly, if you don't get a majority in a primary, then you have a runoff primary. And those are considered two separate elections, and the $5,000 limit that applies to one election starts all over again when you get into the runoff. And so I had assumed initially today that that's the way it would be with, you know, the convention, and now, in effect, a runoff between the candidate that we're backing and the opponent. Not at all. The Federal Election Commission, in its great wisdom, had ruled that it's all one and the same election, and therefore the members of Gun Owners of America have no more voice in that election. That's why we are going after the contribution limits that we can, that both a candidate can receive and that we can receive, because it's an unconstitutional restriction on our First Amendment rights. An interesting development, and if we've got time, I might mention how we've just won a lawsuit that you wouldn't think would apply to what you and I are talking about right now, but it does. We submitted a friend of the court brief for the Watchtower, which is the little publication put out by the Jehovah's Witnesses. Now, I'm not a Jehovah's Witness. When they come to my door, I show them from Scripture how they're wrong. So this was not something that we had Gun Owners of America do to buttress what, in my opinion, is a cult. But instead, they wanted to go door to door. I don't even remember the name of the city now, but they were told they had to register. Well, baloney. Why should they have to register, lose their anonymity, go through all the hoops of some speech police? And, you know, if they want to distribute their stuff, well, then they're free to do so in this country, just the way Gun Owners of America would be if we wanted to go door to door. And so that shoe would easily fit on our foot. And so we were a friend of the court, and we raised some arguments in that case, which was decided earlier this week in our favor by the Supreme Court, and they used a lot of our arguments, and only our arguments, which is why we submitted the friend of the court brief. Namely, we went after this whole restriction, prior restraint that is being exercised, whether it's by the Federal Election Commission or by whatever that local jurisdiction was that wanted the Watchtower trap distributors to register with them. Namely, it's a restriction of their individual right to the freedom of the press. And the court bought a lot of those arguments. Well, guess what? That's the core of our argument against the campaign laws that have been on the books and that McCain would put on the books after next election. I think now, Lord willing, we have a very good chance to prevail in the Supreme Court, and the aggravation and the restraint on my speech and that of the members of Gun Owners of America that I just bumped into today, that hopefully will be gone next year.
Well, I hope you're right, and I appreciate everything you do. As somebody once said, freedom never close thine eyes in slumber, for thine enemies never sleep. And there really are people who believe in a fascist society, and they're alive and well, and they're very well financed, and they're very powerful in America.
Without tax money.
Right. And the great money from the great tax-exempt foundations and the corporations, and so many of them have friends in the media. Well, right now I'd like to talk a little bit about the recent decisions by the Attorney General's office, which at least we hear out here in the hinterlands is very favorable to the Second Amendment. What's the truth about what's going on?
Well, you're correct. That's what you are hearing. But as is often enough the case, what you're hearing in the media is not really what the whole story is about.
You mean reality is usually scoffed at and illusion is usually king, huh?
Certainly in this case, that fits like a glove on a hand. The truth of the matter is that Ashcroft did say that the Second Amendment is an individual right. No two ways about it. But then he went on to say that, well, really, it's not an absolute right. It's subject to reasonable gun control. And his Solicitor General, Ted Olson, in his filing on a couple of cases that had wanted to get to the Supreme Court, Olson said the same thing. Plus, he said it really doesn't protect your right to own a gun that might be used in crime. So what they, in effect, are saying is that criminals are the king's X for the Second Amendment. Any gun a criminal uses could potentially put that gun off limits to Second Amendment protections.
Well, of course, would that be saying a felon couldn't own a gun, or were they going to say that everybody is potentially a criminal? How will that play out?
Well, I think what they would say is that semi-automatic firearms, the most commonly used gun in crime is, I guess, a .38 caliber pistol, or a revolver, so that might be banned. Restrictions on that. So as long as you're not banning all guns, then you haven't really dashed, by their lights, the Second Amendment. And all the, you know, the thing that's so disturbing is that the use of the phrase, that it's a protection, the Second Amendment is a protection of an individual right to keep and bear arms, subject to reasonable gun control. Well, that's Sir Brady's phrase. That's exactly what the gun controllers use.
Well, then why are the Republicans using the Democrats' phrases?
Hello?
Yes,
I'm
just...
sorry, I heard a tone. I thought maybe we'd been disconnected.
No. It would appear that the Republican leadership is using phrases of the radical left.
It is amazing. And what I guess it means is whether the Republicans realize it or not, they are buying into the whole world view of the Democrats and the socialists, who still are very much alive. The Marxism may well have run out of money and for that reason faltered in Russia, but it hasn't run out of money here in the United States, and it's doing real well.
Well, of course, that's because it gets so much money from the Rockefeller, Ford, Carnegie, and all the other great...
And you and me, the taxpayer.
Right, and of course, we fund an awful lot of these radical left-wing organizations through all of the grants that come from government. It's amazing how little of that money, though, goes to conservative pro-American investments. Well, we're going to have to take another break, and when we get back, we'll welcome your calls at 464-8295 or 1-888-24-LIBERTY, and if Roger, who's calling us from Allentown, will hang on. We'll get to him in just a moment or two, but right now, of course, we're going to have to take a short break, and we'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we want you to know that we are offering Miracle 2 soap products, and but we want to tell you a little bit about them before you buy them, what we think that they will help you with. And one thing we stress is we think that they are excellent soap products. We make no guarantees on, you know, any other miraculous cure. We've had a lot of people who've used them and very, very happy. Many people have had their rashes go away. One or two said that they couldn't use them. But the vast majority of the people who use the Miracle 2 Show products are very, very happy with them. So if you would like to give us a call and find more about it, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. We'll send you out a little pamphlet and an audio tape, and you'll have to decide if you'd like to get an introductory offer, why it comes with a soap, a moisturizer, and several products. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And then, of course, we hope that many of our listeners out there will give serious consideration to changing over their long-distance carrier to Promise Vision. Now, this is a Christian long-distance carrier, and 15% of whatever your bill is will come back to us to help finance what we do. And we think their rates are very, very competitive. So call 866-448-5631. That's 866-448-5631. And just mention you heard about Promise Vision here from Radio Liberty. And when you do that, of course, automatically, 15% of your bill will come back and help as we try to expand our coverage across the nation. Because believe me, the average individual is not getting the truth from the controlled media. And we have a wonderful book out called A Mass Control, if you'd like to go into that. But call 866-448-5631 right now. Another of our fascinating 14 sets is entitled Concentration Camps. And it's four interviews with people talking about the move to establish concentration camps in the United States. Now, most people say that's foolish talk. We couldn't have that. And yet, if you listen to these tapes, you'll find out that those camps are a reality. They are being set up in case of civil disturbance. And, of course, the authority for the establishment of the concentration camps comes from the executive orders, which were actually put through during the time of the Reagan administration. For documentation of the location and the background to the formation of these camps, their establishment, and what may very well happen or what they may be used for in the future, I suggest you call our 800 number, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for America. Our values, our future are under attack today. Well, Dr. Stan back here, and of course, if you would like more information on the detention camps, wife Karen A. Bixman has written extensively about this, the investigative reporter. But of course, we have not only a four-tape set going into this, we have a concentration camp special with several tape sets and videos, and you'll actually see pictures of the camps. Now, they're being set up because the government anticipates civil unrest in this country. They anticipate it with the coming of terrorist attacks or with the economic problems. But they've been planning on civil unrest in America for a long time, and they have these camps. You'll actually see them on the videos. You can actually purchase the so-called amazing clip of three videos, over 3.5 hours of viewing. And I promise you, if you see the amazing clips, you'll never look at the world through the same eyes again. But you can also get the same information in the concentration camp special. So give us a call at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. 1-800-544-8927, and you can get either the four tape set, or you can get the videos, or you can get the whole set together in what we call the concentration camp special. Well, our guest today is Larry Pratt. His telephone number is 888-886-GUNS. That's 888-886-GUNS. He comes from Gun Owners of America, and of course their website is gunowners.org. And with us on the line is Roger Collins from Allentown, Pennsylvania. And incidentally, if you'd like to call us, our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY here in the Central Coast of California, 464-8295. And out across the world, it's 831-464-8295. That's 831-464-8295. Roger, do you have a question or comment?
Larry, I wanted to ask, I think we've got to get ahead of the curve, but what I perceive is simultaneous with this relaxation, lip service-wise, on the keeping of firearms, you know, at the federal level particularly. I think, I'm afraid that simultaneous with that, we're seeing a rapid escalation on the bearing of firearms. Say by demagogues and district attorneys and such, and I think it's particularly pernicious, you know, because it tends to be even more at the local rather than state. And
well, let's get Larry's thoughts on that. Larry, aren't we getting more in the way of a right to carry laws through the various state administrations?
The right to carry laws have been added to the books in several states in the last few years, and the push is on to add Ohio, Wisconsin came very close, Minnesota, New Mexico was on the books briefly, and then the Supreme Court tossed it out. So in the state of New Mexico, but
that was the New Mexico Supreme Court.
The New Mexico Supreme Court. So the other side has actually been on the defensive, and what we've been doing in Ohio, where we have some excellent legislators with whom we can work, is actually push for the Vermont style of concealed carry, which means you carry as a matter of right, not as a matter of permit. You want to carry a gun, you don't ask anybody, certainly not in the government, you just put it in your pocket or your holster or wherever you want to put it, and you can go about your business without any more to it than that. And that has, I think, helped us keep, at a minimum, the concealed carry push in Ohio on track for a lot less encumbrance than otherwise might have been the case, because the other side realizes that we've got votes that will vote for the Vermont carry, that if you make the concealed carry law too onerous, we'll vote against it.
Okay, anything else, Roger?
Yeah, it wasn't so much the concealed carry per se, but rather the actual bearing in terms of defensive use of the firearm is what I'm afraid is being more attacked, like typified by the way they're going after Sheriff Mack through his son's such use.
All right, fine. Thank you very much. Let's just get a response to that, because, of course, Sheriff Mack is associated with Gun Owners of America, and Sheriff Mack is certainly one of my heroes, and a very courageous man, and we're indebted to him for really challenging the Brady Bill and keeping it from getting totally out of hand. Where do we stand with that? This case has been brought against Sheriff Mack's son, which would appear to be more retaliation against him than his son.
It certainly does. And the, Roger's point is well taken. The situation with Sheriff Mack's son is all too typical of prosecutors who use their discretion to prosecute people who've been the victim of a crime, as was Sheriff Mack's son, a guy that was completely overtaken with road rage and ran Rich Mack off the road and got out of his vehicle and started to storm over to him. And when Mack's son pulled an empty shotgun out of the trunk of the car and held it, not even pointed at him, well, now he's got a brandishing charge against him. And it wasn't something that happened until 6 months later. So actually a year, it would seem as if there may be some political overtones of let's get Mack, even if we're going to do it through his family. But the fact of the matter is that this could have been John Doe. There's a lot of prosecutors that are outraged at the thought that some citizen might have been so self-empowered as to have a gun and use it in his own defense without having waited for the police to come and take away his dead body.
Well, now, of course, I would expect that if this case ever gets to a jury, that it would be thrown out. Where does this case stand?
It's just now really getting underway. Mack has retained an excellent attorney in Phoenix who has a lot of experience with gun cases, Mark Victor. And so we're really just in the beginning stages of this thing. I'm not even sure when they have the first hearing on this.
Now, you don't know the telephone number offhand. If people would like to, of course, perhaps donate to Sheriff Mack's son's defense?
I know that they can either send something directly to Sheriff Mack, or we set up a self-defense fund, separate fund, so if somebody wanted to make a check that's tax-deductible out to Gun Owners Foundation, all they have to do is put Mack on the memo line, and that check will be devoted entirely to that fund, and that will be used to defray Mack's legal expenses on this case.
All right, fine. And what address would they send it to?
8001 Forbes Place. That's F-O-R-B-E-S, like candidate. 8001 Forbes Place in Springfield, Virginia, 22151. And, of course, you could always call the toll-free number and ask for information about that, and somebody will get back to you. We can take a credit card over the phone, or you can certainly mail a check directly into the office. As long as it's designated, as long as we know that it's for Mack, then that's exactly where it will go.
And let me encourage you to back him. Certainly, what they want to do is pick us off one at a time. And
yes,
there really are wicked and evil people out there. And when you understand that, everything begins to make a lot more sense. And they'll just run you into court, and they'll make your life miserable. And I mean, they're not really worried about Sheriff Mack's son. They're worried about Sheriff Mack. And
even if they eventually are unsuccessful in prosecuting his son, their hope is that they can bankrupt Sheriff Mack. He's not a man of wealth, and he's invested a lot of his own meager funds in the cause of liberty, and he's paid dearly for his stands for principle. So he's kind of on a fine financial line himself, and their hope is that they can bankrupt him so that they can win even if they lose.
And, of course, this is the total corruption of the current system. I remember that 8001 Forbes Road,
Place,
Springfield, Virginia, 22151, or call 888-886-GUNS. Let's give him all the help we can. I believe my wife is going to send him something. He's a very gracious and a nice person. I'm so glad that he's working with you, trying to get people across America to understand that the people who want to disarm America want an authoritarian system here.
We couldn't have a finer guy working with us and representing us, so I really would appreciate being able to tell him that a lot of people have written in and made a tangible expression of support.
Well, we've actually had him on a number of our programs, and the last time he was to be on, he was out in the middle of nowhere, and his cell phone wasn't working, and so he actually stopped and rented a motel room for $10 so he could spend an hour with us, and we really deeply appreciated his willingness to do that. And we've asked our supporters in the past to contact him, and we asked him again, because we have to support one another. We either hang together, or believe me, or we will all hang separately.
They got enough rope to hang us all separately.
Right. And the other thing is you need to realize that they've got corrupt people in our district attorney's office, and we need to get people there who believe in the Constitution, who believe in the law, and not using the law to retaliate against those who stand for freedom. Well, Larry, what are some of the other items that you'd like to bring up for our listeners today? Because, of course, it seems that freedom is always on the defensive. These people are always out there just trying to take it a little at a time. And, of course, instead of the Republicans doing what they ought to do and they go on the offensive when they got the majority, they just try to hold the status quo. And then the Democrats get in and they erode a little bit more. And it's sort of like a salami. You keep cutting off enough pieces of salami. Each one's just a little thin slice.
Yes.
But eventually all you've got is you're holding the string at the end.
Well, I guess right now one of the major areas of combat is the primaries where, for example, in New Hampshire, the party establishment is running Congressman John Sununu, who's really no friend of liberty and at best is a mediocre vote on the Second Amendment issues, against Senator Bob Smith. They're still kind of mad that Bob Smith briefly left the Republican Party when he was running for president and criticized the Republicans for having so much in common with the Democrats.
Well, but they do, that's the thing. That's why they're upset with him.
Right. They would have laughed if it had been untrue, but the fact of the matter is the laugh was on them. And so they're trying to take it out on Senator Smith. Senator Smith, at the moment, is holding his own and has been doing very well in the fundraising department, and I think may well be able to pull this out. But it's a tough race, and anybody that is thinking about making a contribution to a candidate could do a whole lot worse with their money than send a check to Senator Bob Smith for his reelection.
And how would they do that?
You know, he's got a website, and that would probably be the best way, because I don't have an address for him, but it's probably Bob Smith for Senate or something like that. And using a search engine like Google, one will find it immediately, and through the wonders of the Internet, you can get an address or contribute online.
Okay, we're going to have to take another break here, and of course, this is the time when I have to remind you that Radio Liberty is listener-supported. We're dependent on you, if you believe in what we're doing, for help, and, of course, to not only support what we have today, but, of course, to gradually expand across America. And due to the generous support of a number of our people who listen, we are going to be able to syndicate a program that will be heard every Saturday morning. Right now, we have five stations in the Northeast, and we have one station, pardon me, I should say in the Northwest, and one station in the Northeast that's going to be pulling that down. So we'll be on six stations, but we want to syndicate this and get other stations to pull it down. And it'll be an hour talk show program, very, very similar to what we have here, but it will be available to stations all across America. It'll be up on satellites, it'll be on the Internet. But we're hoping that other stations will pull it down. Other stations who believe there's a problem and realize that we have a much different message than they're going to get from other commentators and certainly from Barbara Walters and Dan Rather. So, but there is another network. It's got some 17 stations, and we can get on that for our Saturday pre-recorded program. It's only half an hour, but these are excellent stations. And so if any of you out there would like to help with that project, why, of course, seriously consider increasing your contribution monthly, or if you can, make a one-time donation. But just so we have, know that we'll have the money for 6 months before we commit, and I think eventually that program will pay for itself. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WARM right now. Have you ever wondered what really happened in Oklahoma City? Well, a very important video is cover-up in Oklahoma City. It really consists of film clips that were actually taken from video footage shot during the first 2 or 3 days after the bombing. And you'll actually hear the commentators in Oklahoma City talking about the second bomb, the third bomb that had been disarmed. Now, if they were actually disarming bombs there, why didn't we hear that throughout the rest of the country? You'll actually hear an interview with one of the gentlemen who was in the Murrah building at the time that the bomb went off, and he had time then to jump underneath his desk before the glass blew in from outside. Obviously, there were two bombs, one inside, one outside. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WARM. It is vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and of course, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here on the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Our guest today is Larry Pratt, Gun Owners of America. We're talking about the organized, orchestrated effort by those people who hate the Constitution and hate personal freedom, who have a different agenda for America. And of course, they swear to uphold the Constitution. They don't believe in the Constitution. They get elected to office, and they're like termites. They erode the foundation of a building till the building topples. And believe me, they're eroding the foundation, both moral and spiritual and physical, of this country. And of course, America is in certainly a dire situation today. Well, Larry, you mentioned, of course, the importance of Bob Smith being reelected, and he's always certainly been one of our heroes and always been a good friend of Gun Owners of America, hasn't he?
He certainly has. He's really the one senator out of all 100 who dependably is willing to go to bat, start a floor fight, make an amendment, force a vote, get things done, get legislation passed on behalf of gun owners. And without him in the United States Senate, a bad body gets a lot worse real quickly.
And in fact, I remember Sununu. Wasn't he the fellow that had to resign when they found out he was using the government helicopters for his own personal use during when he was in the Bush administration?
That was his dad. And
that was his father, I think.
Right. Sununu has been identified as having gotten contributions from some Hamas supporters. Sununu is himself Arab American, and that is a delicate issue and doesn't come up a lot in the campaign, but it's known. And I think that the bottom line is, whatever his connections abroad, Mr. Sununu has been fairly consistently unconcerned, put it mildly, about the rights of gun owners. So that race is really a key race between party establishment types who are trying to purge a really effective conservative and the conservatives. And will we be able to rally around a man who deserves our support and getting back in? So,
well, I think you've raised a very important point. And that is, there is an establishment, and that's controlled by people of great wealth in both political parties. And, of course, they want their candidates in. They don't want representative government. They want to give us a choice of socialist A or socialist B, or they want to get, they really want this, the political system to be run from the top down, not from the bottom up. And right here in California, they have bought the control of the Republican Party. I don't know whether most people know that, but I've been associated with the Republican Party for many years, and they simply bought these central committees all across America, spent hundreds of thousands, millions of dollars sending out these bright and beautiful, little pamphlets, you know. They brought Howard Jarvis back from the grave. They have pictures of him, you know, supporting these conservatives. They weren't conservatives. They were all liberals. But, of course, the average individual doesn't understand that they've taken over the Republican Party in California all across the nation by what they refer to as RINOs, Republicans in name only. And that certainly is true, it sounds like, in New Hampshire, in most of the states. And it happens because the good people aren't involved. They think that they don't have to be involved, that America's always going to be here. But that really isn't true when we have the people of great wealth controlling both parties, is it, Larry?
Well, and I think that's what's hardly at stake in the fight over these campaign finance laws, because these rascals, in the name of making the process clean as a whistle, reform, ethics, all these motherhood words, have actually set the system so that unless you happen to be wealthy, you're not likely to be able to do well in the political system, because you're going to be limited to $1,000 contribution from an individual, and that may sound like a lot of money to those of us who are not rolling around in big sums, but the fact of the matter is that in California, I'm sure you're talking about somewhere between $40 and $50 million to run a campaign for, say, United States Senate. And if you do a little arithmetic, you're talking about something like $400,000 bills or something like that. That's an awful lot of money at that clip. And the candidate for an office where they've got to raise that kind of money ends up like the rat on a treadmill. And the faster he goes, the nowhere faster that he gets. And it's just an incredibly bad system. And so if a guy can come in and write himself such sums as may be necessary, well, then he's
going to
be king.
Well, I remember when we had Huffington running here in California, and he was running a Republican candidate for Senate. Supposedly running as a conservative. Well, I shook hands with him one time, and a fish has a better handshake than Michael Huffington. And it turned out that after he was defeated, he came out of the closet. He announced he was a homosexual. He was part of the homosexual agenda. And he was almost our United States Senator. But we've got all sorts of them that have never come out of the closet, and they're working right back there in our nation's capital to undermine the moral fabric of our society. And where are the churches? Where are the good people? Oh, we're just too busy. Or we can't be involved in that. And yet that's how freedom is lost.
The advertisement that you had just a bit ago for the Oklahoma City tape, I think, becomes more timely and more compelling subject when you think about the news that has been breaking this last week, that now the identity of John Doe 2 has been given a name, and he's an Iraqi, and he's been connected with the Filipino Abu Sayyad, and Fox News had a big clip from a former television reporter in Oklahoma City talking about all the eyewitnesses that had seen this Arabic-looking fellow with Tim McVeigh, even in the Ryder truck, and then speeding away from the scene of the crime, and all these different things that obviously the prosecutors didn't want to bring up because it didn't suit Clinton's interest to blame the whole thing on the vast right-wing conspiracy.
Yeah, but the Republicans are covering it up as well, and they're doing everything they can to prevent the truth from coming out. So it seems like both political parties at the very top don't want the American people to know the truth.
Well, it makes as much sense for the Republicans to not want the truth to come out on that as it does for the Republicans to avoid votes on the gun issue. In both cases, they would have ways of really smoking the Democrats, and yet they sit there with their six-shooters firmly strapped into their holsters, refusing to use them, even though they're in a gunfight.
Well, and unfortunately, freedom is lost when good people do nothing. And maybe the American people won't appreciate what freedom is until they no longer have it.
I'm afraid that could be.
Well, we do our best, and actually I'm more encouraged than I've ever been. We're reaching more people, and the people we reach, and they hear, and I say some things that maybe you're not going to like hearing out there in the audience, but they're true. And the reason I say them is because if I don't tell you, I'm not doing much right as a physician. You've got cancer. I tell you, you've got cancer. You won't like hearing that. But, of course, it may be your only chance to survive. And the old adage, you can't sell people life insurance till you can convince people they're going to die, it carries over into what we do. You can't get people involved in this battle for the survival of Western civilization unless you can convince them that they're about to lose it. And with that, there's their freedom, their family, their future, and very well their lives. Larry, we're just about out of time. What are the parting thoughts you'd like to leave with our listeners today?
Well, I share your view that we are, in some ways, really making some progress. And I think it's indicative that you're reaching more people. That is something that we're doing as well. And our email communication, which uses this instant latest technology, is something that has already proven itself in some defensive battles that we've fought, and we've been able to be successful when we didn't have time to go into the mail. We nevertheless can communicate with so many thousands of people, and they get information from us. It tells them what the situation is, suggested a comment that they could email to their own congressman, and because of the service that we use, even if the congressman is one of the some 25% that don't have a published email address, we're able to get it delivered to the congressman anyway. And this is all something that can be done free as long as you've got a computer that works the email. Go to the webpage for Gun Owners of America, gunowners.org. You can sign up right there. It's free. And it really makes anybody who's part of that list part of the defense of freedom. And I think it's things like that where we can organize and put our voice, make our voice heard at the right time in the right place. Even though we're a minority, these politicians understand that organized minorities are what makes things happen anyway. That's always the way change occurs in history. So it's a numbers game, but we don't need a majority. We just need a large enough minority that we can make the difference, the balance of power.
Well, God bless you for everything you do. Thanks very much for being with us. Our guest has been Larry Pratt. He comes from Gun Owners of America. I knew the man who founded that, Senator Richardson, and I've known him for 40 years. These people are as straight as they can be, and I recommend them to you without hesitation. God bless you, Larry.
Thank you so much for having me on the show, Dan.
Bye-bye. Okay, fine, and then I hope you enjoyed the program, and I hope you think very seriously about the things we've talked about. Remember what I said about freedom is never free. And remember those words of Thomas Jefferson? God, who gave us life, gave us liberty. But can the liberty of a nation be secure when the conviction has been forgotten that liberty is the gift of God? I tremble for my country when I reflect that God is just, and his justice cannot sleep forever. And so, until Monday at the same time, Dr. Stan, we ask you to pray for America. We ask you to pray for revival for our ministers. We ask you to pray, of course, for our leaders. And we also ask you to pray for my ministry, Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. And we'll be with you on Monday. Until then, may the Lord be with you.